Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, February 14th, 2010.
If you'll open with me this morning to Philippians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 19 to 24. The second chapter of the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, verse 19. Philippians 2:19 reads this way. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his, Timothy's, proven character, that as a son with his father he served with me in the gospel. Therefore I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. When you read this passage, we clearly understand that the Apostle Paul had a lot of confidence in Timothy. And he also knew that the Philippians would have that same confidence concerning Timothy and his motives and his purpose and his abilities. Our translation of Paul's description here of Timothy in the Greek, I believe it's a good translation. He was a young man of a proven character. That's the New King James translation of the Greek word that Paul used. However, that translation doesn't give us the full flavor of what Paul was trying to say about Timothy. The Greek word that Paul uses here in this passage to describe Timothy is a word that the Greeks often used to describe metals that had been put through a series of tests and that had come through those tests and were proven to be sound, useful, and reliable. This morning, this is going to be our theme. To come through the test, approved. To come through the test, to be manifested, to be sound, useful, and reliable. The word, because of that use of the word concerning metals and other things that went through a series of tests, but it was often used in this context, the word had come to mean, and Paul uses it this way in describing Timothy, it came to mean experienced, proven, approved, proof. All of these thoughts were behind the meaning of this Greek word. Now, if you stop and think about just the word, and I want us to get a good grasp of the meaning of the word as we then begin to apply it to the believer. In Paul's day, well, first of all, why would metals need to be tested? Why did they need to be tested? Why do they still need to be tested today? If metals or metal alloys, which is a combination of different minerals, I really ought to have Phil explain this to you, but I'll keep it simple so I can understand it. If metals or metal alloys have contaminants in them, or if they're not properly tempered with heat, they simply will not perform as they are expected to perform for the task that they were intended. Now, in Paul's day, if you stop and think about that, why should metal be tested? Why is that important? Won't you just put it together and however it comes out, it comes out. If you can stop and think, in Paul's day, a soldier would want his sword, the metal that was used to make his sword, he would want that sword to be tested before he ever went to battle. If it was not, if it was a sword that was full of contaminants, or if it had not been properly heated or tempered, then the first blow against the enemy's shield, what would happen to that sword? It would simply shatter. Do you think that would be a problem for a soldier in battle? That might be an issue. It's important that the metal be tested. What about in today's society? I don't have a sword. I don't worry about that. How many traveled across a bridge to get here this morning? Wouldn't you want that steel to have been tested before it ever went in the bridge? It's important to have metal tested, to be approved, Because if it doesn't, it could lead to harm, injury, and loss. With that understanding of Paul's description of Timothy, he's proven. His character is experienced and tested. We understand that it's equally important that Christians be tested and proven. This is not a thought, this is not a message that you hear often preached to God's people. Some people think it's not a grace message when you talk about proving Christians. But you'll find that Paul speaks much about this. The Scripture speaks much about it. The Christian is to be proven. To ensure our success in doing the will of God. To avoid spiritual harm and spiritual loss to ourselves and to others. I'm going to make some statements here and then we're going to back them up with Scripture. But I want you to take these before you accept or reject them. I want you to listen to them. And then I want you to do what the Bereans did. And I want you to search the Scripture and see if these things are true or not. Before God will give you a place of greater responsibility, either in this life or in eternity, He will test the strength of your faith. He will test you for your sake and for the sake of others and for the sake of His own glory. He will test you. This morning, I want us to consider whether or not we could be described as Paul described Timothy. When others see you, when others describe you, and most importantly, when the Lord describes you, would He use this term about you? Would He say that you are of proven character? Has our faith been tested, and have we come through the test? It's not a matter just, it's not enough just to have been tested. You could have metal that failed the test and you say, well, it was tested, so go ahead and use it. No, we want to pass the test. We want to come out approved, strong, reliable, and useful to God. So allow the Holy Spirit to ask you, are you coming through the tests approved? Now, if we are not, if after we examine ourselves and allow the Spirit to examine us, I want us to be encouraged this morning because this is a message of grace. This is a message that will cause you to enjoy and enter into God's best in this life and in eternity, but only if it's a message that's received and heeded. If we find out that we are failing the tests, that we're not strong in faith, if there are some contaminants in our life that are causing our spiritual state to be weak and causing us to be vessels that are not as useful to the Lord as they should be, if we find that to be true, this morning we have opportunity to make the proper adjustments to come through those tests and be approved. One of the reasons for testing metals or any other product is in order to make the improvements necessary so that product will be what it should be. But the preliminary tests are necessary first. We can allow God to make the right adjustments in our life. We can allow the heat, when it's turned up, to begin to dissolve and to burn away the dross. And this is a reason why we should actually welcome the test, that we might become stronger. The test in and of itself, I never liked tests. I still don't like tests. In school, I didn't like tests. But they're necessary. And the child of God needs to come to the place where we rejoice in the test themselves, knowing what they produce. Be encouraged if you have failed and you realize you failed, and that is a big step. A lot of God's people don't like to acknowledge tests, and they don't like to acknowledge when they fail. But God does not test us in order that we would fail. And this is the first thing people balk about when you talk about testing God's people. Well, God's trying to see if we're going to fail. No. The tests are in order that we might succeed. And when we fail the test, He doesn't throw us on the trash heap. All of God's children will bring Him glory in eternity. Ephesians teaches us this concerning all of God's children, even the most carnal saint in this life, because of the grace of God that saved them eternally, will bring glory to God. But saints, when you have a revelation of what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you, you will desire to bring Him the greatest glory possible. This is why we're talking about grace and we're talking about love. We're not talking about legality. But if you truly love God with all of your heart, as I hope that is what we would aspire to, then you'll want to bring Him the greatest glory possible, and that means submission to the tests, letting Him make the adjustments necessary that we might come out of those tests approved. So what is the testing process trying to prove? Why does God test His people? Once again, it's important to understand He's not testing to see if you're saved or not. He knows that. The Lord knows His own. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The testing process is not to see if you're worthy of heaven or not. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're not going to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 1 is such a precious passage of Scripture that tells us of the purpose of God that brought about our salvation, the salvation of all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there in that passage, we are told that all of God's children are accepted by God in the beloved Jesus Christ. The word that Paul uses there in Ephesians 1 that means accepted, the meaning of that Greek word is to be a recipient of kindness, grace, and favor. And that is true of every child of God. And thank God, I know I am eternally accepted in the Beloved. Not by whether I pass a test or not, but because Jesus Christ gave His life for me. And that never changes. So don't get mixed up when I talk about testing and proving Christians. The testing has nothing to do with being accepted by God. But the purpose of the testing is to manifest the degree of our usefulness and our reliability in doing the will of God, both now and in eternity. Now again, a lot of people would make a lot of people mad when I made that statement. But God tests us to see the degree to manifest to us and to others. God knows our heart. But the test is to manifest to us and to others the usefulness and the reliability of our character. When we talk about usefulness and reliability, in that context, again, I'm going to make another statement here, so hang on. I might have to start putting seatbelts in the seats, I guess, because some of you are going to fall out of your pew. But in the context of being useful to God and reliable in doing the will of God, not all Christians are acceptable to God. You still there? Not all Christians are in a spiritual state that is acceptable to God. Now, remember the first preliminary statements. Being accepted by God and the Beloved, that never changes. Being acceptable in your day-to-day life, in your doing of the will of God, some of God's people fail the test. Romans 14, here's the scriptural basis. Romans 14 and verse 17. You should know and understand these truths and let them transform your life, not because I'm able to convince you, if I am. Some people think I'm a great preacher. Some people not so much. But you need to believe and understand these things simply because it's the Word of God. And if it's not, then you need to reject it. But Romans 14, 17 says something different than Ephesians because it's speaking about a different phase of our life. This is talking about our usefulness here in Romans. Ephesians is talking about our eternal standing before God. Romans is talking about your present state, your condition, and usefulness to God. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable, and the word there means fully agreeable, well-pleasing to God, and is approved. That's our word that we started out with and the word that we're emphasizing today, the same one that Paul used to describe Timothy, a proven character. Here it's translated approved, but it's the same Greek word, by men. Those who serve Christ, those whose life is characterized by righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, they are acceptable to God. But we can also take the opposite of that coin, those who are not characterized by, and only Christians can serve the Lord, by the way, so this is to Christians, those that are already accepted by God. Those who do not, whose lives are not characterized by righteousness, peace, and joy, they are not acceptable to God. They are not approved. They did not pass the test. So what exactly is this process supposed to manifest? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:9. Again, some aren't going to like this. But this is an important truth from Scripture. 2 Corinthians 2:9. What's the test going to prove? Because what's our faith supposed to be about? What are we supposed to be reliable in? What are we supposed to be useful for? 2 Corinthians 2:9. For to this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test. That's our Greek word. Proven character, approved, experience. It's the exact same Greek word. That I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. That's what the test will manifest. Are you doing the will of God? Are you trustworthy? Can the Lord Himself trust you to do what's right in His sight in every test, in every circumstance? Obedience. Some form of the word obey is used over 50 times in the New Testament. Now, 32 of those times, some form of the word obey is used by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Grace. And that number 50, that doesn't reflect the use of many other words like keep or guard or simply do that often have the same meaning as obey. So I didn't even count those. So you understand that in the New Testament, under the age of grace, obedience is an important subject to God. And it's the very purpose of the tests. Now, the Apostle Paul obviously was dealing with the Corinthians about a specific issue and was talking about their obedience to those specific instructions. I understand that. But the principle is the same for all of God's instruction, to see whether we will be obedient in all things. And in order that we go through the test, and when we fail to obey, it's not to throw us on the trash heap, but rather that we might yield to the process of adjustment, that we might become stronger and stronger, more useful, to bring greater glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, both now and in eternity. As the children of God, obedience to the will of the Father is directly related to God's understanding of our reliability and our usefulness to bring Him glory. Now, when you understand that, if you truly love God, when you connect all these dots and you love God, you're going to say, God, I want to pass the tests. I want to be approved because I want to bring you the greatest glory that I possibly can. When we fail to obey His loving instruction, when we fail to allow His revealed area, His revealed will to change and transform every area of our life, then we're failing the tests. In every situation, in every circumstance, His will is to dictate our attitudes, our actions, and our words. In every circumstance, are we going to be found to have a proven character? Are we going to be found to be obedient in all things? When our faith is weak, when our spiritual condition is weak, there is danger of spiritual harm and loss to us and to those around us and to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The danger is just as real as in Paul's day when a soldier used an untested and unproven sword in battle, and the first time he hits the enemy's shield, it crumbles. That's danger. And when God's people, when our faith is weak, there is that real danger to spiritual harm and loss. Now, whenever you perform quality testing on any product, whatever it might be, you need a standard by which to gauge the results of the test to know whether the product passed or failed. You've got to have a standard. You've got to have a checklist. Our standard is the Bible. That's the quality test. Obviously, it would take too much time for us to go all through the Bible, because you'd have to go through all of the Bible to understand the complete revealed will of God. This is why we spend our lifetime studying the standard, the Word of God, that we might continue to graduate from grade to grade, going from test to test, that we might reach the highest quality of faith, that we might glorify God. We spend our entire lifetime studying and applying God's Word, that we might allow it to purify us from those contaminants that weaken our faith, that we might be transformed and become strong. We'll read one passage in Galatians that we'll just use as a summary of the standard of what God expects in His people. A summary of what is a proven Christian character. What does it mean to be a Christian? That is acceptable to God in our faith. Galatians 5, verse 22. familiar passage, but it's certainly a good summary, and the summary alone is challenging enough without going to all the details. But as we read it, even though you're familiar with it, I want you to read it, to follow along as I read it. And once again, ask yourself, does this describe you in every circumstance, in every situation? And I think every last one of us will have to say, you know, I think there's some more testing that needs to be done in my life. Now, some may be able to truthfully say, you know, God has worked a lot of these things in my life in a great degree from where I first started out walking with the Lord. Man, the Lord has done a gracious work of transformation in me. But once again, I think we all have to understand there's still more quality that needs to be obtained and is obtainable in Christ. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that selfless commitment to God and to others? Is that a description of you? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now remember, every circumstance, every situation, obedient in all things. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, and if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you live in the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is a proven Christian character. Does that describe you? It is to describe the character of God's people. Once again, not just in one occasion, but in every circumstance, in every situation. Romans chapter 5. So what are these tests? I believe that everything that you experience in your day-to-day living is a test to see whether you will be obedient in all things. But here in Romans, we read about those extra heavy trials, tests, the more difficult ones that arise from time to time that seem to just overwhelm you. They can be physical, they can be emotional, they can be have to do with relationships. But they in and of themselves are just devastating. They're just something that is extraordinarily difficult. For the child of God, you need to have a proper perspective of those times, because they will come if they haven't yet. I don't know anybody. Well, you may be young enough. You haven't had some big ones yet. But if you live very long, you're going to realize there are some overwhelming difficulties in life. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, trials, testing, knowing, and this is the only way you can rejoice, is with an understanding, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, that is patience, and perseverance, character, there's our word, same one we've been looking at, and character, hope. The word hope means expectation, certain expectation. Our expectation is to be used by God to bring Jesus Christ the greatest degree of glory. We have that expectation when we live by faith, to bring Him glory now and in eternity. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The testing is not to discourage you. The test is not to make you fail. But when we look to God in faith in the most difficult times of life, that very testing will cause us to come out stronger and more hopeful than when we entered. Because God will begin the transforming process. As the heat is applied to the metal and to the alloys, they begin to become stronger than they were before. The difficult times of life are to test our spiritual metal. Anyone can serve the Lord faithfully when things are going good, when you have no pains, when you have difficulties with others. Anybody can serve the Lord when things are good. But do you love the Lord when things are going wrong? Do you faithfully serve Him and serve others when everything should tell you you shouldn't because He's failed you? We've all been tempted. I'm assuming you're all like me. We've all been tempted to think, is God listening? Does God care? Whether you give into it to any degree or not, but we've all had those thoughts. Yeah, He cares. He cares enough to test you. Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to have to hurry through here. He tells us that we as believers are stewards of the manifold grace of God, the mysteries of God. And it is required of stewards that we be found faithful. And the word there that Paul uses in the Greek is that we would be found out by inquiry to learn and to discover that we might be found faithful. The word faithful means worthy of trust, worthy of belief, worthy of confidence. Christians need to be tested that we might be proven, not only to ourselves, and God knows our heart, but we need to be proven to be real and genuine and strong for those that we minister to, for those that you point to Christ for salvation, for those that you point to a deeper walk, to believers, that you point to the deeper truths and say, you know, there's a spiritual maturity that God wants you to obtain to, and you point them to it. They need to be able to look at your life and to see the reality of that faith. They need to know that you are trustworthy. They need to know that you and your words are reliable. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says, you seek proof of Christ speaking in me. And again, that word proof is our word. The same one that he described Timothy with. Since you seek proof of Christ speaking to me. Now, Paul was using sarcasm to the Corinthians to make a point because they did not accept. Some were questioning his authority. So he was using sarcasm, but he makes his point. You desire to seek proof that I'm speaking the truth to you. And he says, all you have to do is look at my life and my ministry, which you have all seen. The trials of life will give others opportunity to see the reality of faith in Jesus Christ. And once again, saints, I don't like tests. I don't like trials. I don't like difficult things. I just don't. But I do love Jesus. And I do want others to know Him as Savior. I want other Christians to open up their hearts and their lives to the deeper truths. So now I have to ask myself, am I willing to go through the tests and to come out approved that others will know that what I'm talking about, I know what I'm talking about. I've had experiences. And that's kind of one of the flavors of the meaning as well. Experience. I've had experience. I know that Jesus is faithful. I know there's no other life that's worth living because I've been through some things and God showed himself faithful and he made me strong. And now he can make you strong. Do you love the Lord enough to be found approved by men as reliable? Besides wanting others to be able to have confidence in our testimony, ultimately, we want to be found by our Lord and our Savior to be reliable. Can he trust you? Sadly, the Lord cannot trust most of his people to do his will. But we're not talking about most people. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. Can he trust me? He's given us his word as a treasure in these clay vessels. Do we keep it? Do we guard it? Do we proclaim it? He's given me a place in his body. Am I faithful to function in a way that honors him? Are you? So many things we allow, circumstance and situation, we allow ourselves to be hindered from doing what we know God wants us to do. Just the simple stuff. Reading God's word, praying, assembling ourselves together, encouraging one another. Can God trust you? Paul told the Thessalonians, he said, test all things and hold fast to what is good. And again, the word test, it's our word. Paul uses it a lot. Test all things. You prove it. How we come out of our test will have a whole lot to do with how faithful we are to test everything else. Test your doctrine. Prove it. What's the quality standard? The Word of God. Is what you believe and what you teach, does it pass the test of God's Word? Then your conduct and your attitudes, put it to the test. Whatever fails, abandon that. But whatever's good, you hold fast. And when we are faithful to test all things and hold to what is good, you're going to find out you're going to pass the test. Yeah, let's see. I'm going to have to close here. The final test, 1 Corinthians 3. Every circumstance and situation in this life is a test. Some are bigger tests than others. But the ultimate question is, are we going to be obedient in all things? Are we going to do the will of God? No matter what else we experience in life, are we going to do the will of God? The reason that we should welcome the test and cry out to God that we might come through approved, that he would make the adjustments necessary that we would come out successful. The reason is because there's going to come a final test and the outcome will determine your closeness to Jesus Christ in eternity. Now, if you value that truth, and I hope that you do, how close do you want to be to Christ in eternity? It's being determined right now by the series of tests in this life. And then the final test in 1 Corinthians 3. And I'm going to just have to jump down here to verse 13. Each one's work will become clear. The Greek word there means manifest or apparent. For the day will declare it. The word declare in the Greek is make plain. So some things are going to be clear and evident. Because it will be revealed, that word means the lid's going to be taken off, by fire, and the fire will test, and that word is the root word to the word we've been considering, proved. The fire's going to prove it. Each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he receives a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? The purpose of this final test is to reveal who will be found worthy of reward and who will be given the privilege of ruling and reigning with Christ and who will have squandered that opportunity because of the contaminant of the flesh in this life. As I said this morning, if you failed the test, and if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and say, you know, this last week when you went through this experience, it was an opportunity for you to be obedient and to apply my word, and you didn't do it. The reason the Holy Spirit is faithful to tell us that is not so we will be miserable, although that's usually the first response, and should be. But it is that we might come through that thing, repent of our failures, and allow him to make us useful. You remember John Mark, Barnabas' nephew. The Apostle Paul refused to take him on the trip the second time around because John Mark, well, he wasn't obedient to the call. And Paul says, I'm sorry, he's not going to be useful for the trip. He's not coming with me. But later on, what do we read that Paul says about John Mark? Bring John with you because he's useful. So if you have failed the test, understand if you will simply acknowledge that and turn your life over to God, he will make you stronger. He will make you useful. He will transform your life. This is why we're talking about grace, because we are talking about fragile vessels of clay. But he can make you a vessel that brings him honor. Let's close with Psalm 19. I wonder if we'll have a song in closing. Psalm 19. I want to say something here because, again, when you talk about these types of practical truths, when you use words like obedience, testing, and proving, some of God's people, they just begin to shrink back with an inferiority complex. Well, I can never do that. I was never good at tests in school, and I'm still no good at tests. I want you to know that every child of God is able to pass every test with flying colors because we have all been given overwhelming advantages to pass the test. This has nothing to do with your background. You say, Brother Doug, I wasn't raised in church like you. You just have too many advantages. Well, you know, you're right. God blessed me with a lot of advantages, and I don't apologize for that, but I sure thank God for it. But that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. Because I know my physical brothers, many relatives, many cousins had the exact same opportunity I had. They failed the test. So just having the opportunity is not the assurance of passing the test. You know what the assurance to pass the test is? Take advantage of the advantages you've been given. First of all, every test is an open book test. I love those in school. In fact, I don't remember very many of them, actually. I know where the answer is. Open the book. I can pass the test. It's right there. And then on top of that, I've been given a tutor that dwells within me that will give me the answer every single time. Then you say, well, Brother Duck, I'm not very smart. You've been given the very mind of Christ. Do you see how we can pass the test? For you to make excuses for yourself or for others is to deny these advantages, is to ignore them or belittle them. Saints, I've been given too much to fail. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. My desire is what is spoken of here in Psalm 19, verse 7. I hope this is our desire. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. That's me. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. They are not a burden. It's not legality. It's a source of great joy. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Is this, verse 14, is this your desire? This is what obedience is all about. Obedience that comes as a result of faith and love is not legality, but it's the expression of verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.